Amen. If you look in your bulletin, you will notice that there is no title nor preacher's name listed on the sermon line. We had a service that was undergoing change over the course of the week, and at one point, Chip was going to be delivering the message to you, but he wasn't feeling well at the end of the week and wasn't able to write out his sermon. So we decided that we were going to try me working off of his notes. And I have found it to be an interesting experience. And I'm not saying it interesting with quotation marks, but I normally get to sit down and read a text and then respond to it with my questions and my opinions. And this time, somebody else was asking those questions. I gave Chip a fairly simple assignment, or at least it sounded simple, and I said, "What would you want to say to the congregation? What is important to you?" I asked them to be positive, to avoid hectoring and politics, but beyond that, the field was wide open. So here are some of the thoughts, some of the questions that Chip asked, and I have tried to keep my editorializing out of this to a degree. Sometimes I'm going to respond, so this is going to be a little bit of a dialogue. Chip started his sermon questions and observations saying, "We need to think about why we should take care of God." Now, I found that to be a really interesting question because I know I don't spend a lot of time thinking about how I should take care of God. I spend time thinking about how God should take care of me and how he can take care of me. But Chip says that God also needs help sometimes, and it is our job to help him. Now, that was a very interesting thought. Chip and I talked a little bit about the omniscience, the all-knowingness, and the omnipotence, and the all-powerfulness of God. And I said that maybe God doesn't need our help, but he wants our help. And it's still our job to help him. Do you think of that? Do you think it's your job to help God? Are you comfortable with the idea that God's just going to take care of everything? Or do you find yourself called to participate in a ministry of this church or some activity out in the wider world? Do you see yourself as God's hands and his eyes and his ears? I hope so. This is a reminder to me that our kids and our children often ask questions that we adults no longer have the vision to pose or have the temerity to ask. One of the things I tried to tell people over the years, and I know our kids still get it, is that there is no question you cannot ask in church. You should be brave enough to do that. And you should remember that faithful people have been doing that throughout the years. One of the sad facts of life is that kids grow into teens and into young adults. Our society conspires, even if unknowingly, to beat that inclination to ask any question, to wonder about any issue out of them. Not all kids, though, have that wonder stripped away. And it's a good thing because we wouldn't have computers or medicine or planes or any of the other wonderful things that we take for granted in our world. God does so much for us, Chip noted, that we should be kind to him. Now, this is going to sound like a little bit of a lecture, and this is not directed at any one child in this room, but often when we are kids, and I suspect we're in a relationship too, We think that our parents or our partner or our friends ought to do stuff for us. We assume that toys are going to appear. We assume that someone's going to take us on vacation. We assume that someone's going to clean the house. Someone's going to get the food or mow the lawn. And people just keep doing this, and we often take it for granted. And I feel comfortable saying this because every adult here was once a child. So everybody here knows what I'm talking about. We just assume that this stuff is going to happen. And we don't say thank you often enough. And it really isn't that hard to do, is it? And I know I'm as guilty of this as anybody in this room. So I'm going to take a moment now to say thank you to each and every person here for what you do for this church, for what you do for this community. But we should also remember why our parents, our friends, our partners are doing these things. It's not because it's their job. It's not because there's an obligation. They're doing it because they love us. And that's the same with God. God doesn't have to do anything for us. But God does anyway because God loves us. Now, there are times when we want something. We may want the new game console, we may want a pony, we may want a convertible, and the stuff never shows up. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody here ever pray to win the lottery and you didn't? This is a reminder that we don't always get what we want. But with God, we will always get what we need. Sometimes that doesn't seem good enough. But usually it always works out. So I'd ask you to think about that. Now, what are some of the ways we can take care of God? Chip noted two. One was to take care of the environment. And that seems pretty easy, right? We should pick up after ourselves. We should clean the yard. We should look for litter. Everybody can do it. And we should take care of the environment because the earth is God's creation. When you go outside today and you look at the sunlit Colburn Park or the front yard, or you take a walk on the trail, that's God's creation. And I know we can explain it all with physics and geology and earth sciences, but God is behind all of that. God gave us dominion over the earth, and we remember that God's dominion is a dominion of service. God has just lent us the planet. And I don't know about you, but I would feel uncomfortable if God came back and asked for us to return it to him. Our parents often teach us we should return things in the condition we found them. And I don't know we've done a very good job with the earth. So let's take care of it. Think of something small you can do. A few weeks ago, Kathy Beckett called our attention to an effort to reduce our use of plastic here in the community. And plastic we use finds itself all over the world. You know, there's a spot in the Pacific Ocean now that's called the Great Garbage Patch. It's the size of France. That's a lot of trash. So perhaps rather than using a disposable cup, you could bring a reusable one with you when you go to the coffee shop. Perhaps after coffee hour, you could get one of the mugs rather than one of the paper cups. Little stuff, but you and your actions can make a difference. Something else Chip wrote was that we should be respecting one another. That seems easy enough, right? It only is as we get older that we learn to start segregating ourselves and to start seeing people as being different, wondering about their language or their dress. Every person was created by God. Nobody was made more equal than anybody else. So respecting one another is a way that we are respecting God. It's pretty easy to set aside a snarky remark or a bigoted thought. It's a little harder to call out our friends on that or our colleagues, but we need to do that. It's one of the reasons we have the banner hanging in front of our church now that says immigrants and refugees are welcome. It seems like a no-brainer, but we live in a world where it needs to be said. Everybody is welcome in God's house. No ifs, no ands, no buts. Makes it a lot easier to remember. Chip then asked a question. And I have to confess, I think I need another sabbatical so I can properly answer this one. And I could write a book on it. What is special about having faith? Do you have an answer to that? Have you ever thought about it and wondered about it? Thanks to the wonders of the internet, I could go find statistics that would show you how having faith will enable you to lead a fuller and happier and longer life. Or I could just introduce you to somebody like Pete Mason, who will tell you about the power of prayer and how that helped him as he was dealing with his cancer. I could just tell you to talk with one another. Having faith, to me, is a gift from God. And it's not something that we can just decide to have. We may have to try it out a little bit. It can involve taking risks. It can involve being disappointed. But we should always remember, and Chip wrote this, that God loves and nurtures you and helps you in times of need. God loves and nurtures you and helps you in times of need. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life when I need that kind of support and that kind of comfort. There are times in my life when I'm sitting with a member of the congregation in the hospital, or talking with them on the phone, or swapping text messages, when I know that that assurance of God's love and God's support makes all the difference. I know some of you in this congregation are dealing with health issues right now. Maybe you're dealing with issues at home. Maybe there's something going on at work. Have faith that God will be with you, that God will provide you with comfort and support and strength. It may not be recognizable at the moment, but it is there. And then I encourage you to look to this congregation for more support and comfort and care. Because all around you, look around the sanctuary, you will see manifestations of God's love. If you go into the parish hall after the service, and again, I strongly encourage you to do so, you will see a number of displays about what Christians believe. And there isn't one definitive answer. Indeed, I'm sure that in this room, there is a spectrum of belief. But some of the things that our kids learned this year, some of the things they touched on, were giving and temptation and friendship and love and manners. Thanks and praise and family. Part of me wants to tell you to go downstairs to church school with the kids every week, because these are good things to be learning. Indeed, these are foundations for a good Christian life. So I give thanks to Chip for coming up with the outline for today's message. I give thanks to Marcia for creating a church school environment in which our kids can ask questions and where they can explore ideas, where they can have some fun. And I give thanks to all of you for providing us with these great kids who are here today. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gifts of children and wonder and learning. We thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We will now continue our service of worship with hymn 325, Child of Blessing, Child of Choice.